and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world. Featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today it's Friday, April 27th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. We can do it together. Visit norml.org to get involved today. We have a great Friday show for you here today. Fishbone is in the house. We'll speak with them on the phone today. And also, we'll play some tracks from their newest album, Still Stuck in Your Throat. Also on the program today, Steve Bloom with his CelebStoner.com update. But first up on the Audio Stash today, we're starting up a new weekly segment for Fridays, a marijuana news roundup where we review the week in pot headlines. Let's start that off now with the weekly news headlines from Normal. Normal's top stories this week include: Join Normal, Tommy Chong, and the nation's top pot law attorneys at the second annual Normal Aspen Legal Seminars. Normal responds to White House's potent pot scare campaign, and cannabinoid receptor agonist significantly reduces post-operative pain, study says. You can hear those full stories on our separate weekly Normal News audio podcast. You can listen to Normal News through links we have at normalaudiostash.com and also at normal.org/podcast. In other news this week, the U.S. government report that pot's potency is stronger than ever before is an announcement that likely has many of us cannabis consumers jumping for joy. And it's probably sending many pot smokers from the 60s scrambling to America's underground marijuana market to see what all the fuss is about. Remember, folks, THC is a non-toxic substance, even at acute doses, as they say in medical lingo. An individual would have to smoke 2 pounds in under 2 minutes to cause any serious immediate health effects. Try doing that. What's more, the government and FDA have approved and loudly advocate the use of Marinol. Marinol is 100% THC. If there were any danger from high levels of THC, Marinol would simply not be available. So let me take this opportunity to give my personal and deep and sincere thank yous to the marijuana cultivators of America for being such great plant scientists and growing such wonderful marijuana. Courageous cultivators of the country, we, the pot smokers of America, salute you.
Yo, I am Blaze in the Rasta. A high grade. On a pot smoker.
And it's a dope thing, man. A wicked ganja. Lord God, tell the policeman be free with. Yo!
What are presidential candidates saying about pot? Well, not much. But in New Hampshire, the candidates may not be able to avoid this essential question much longer. Politico.com is running an interesting series of debates, and the folks at New Hampshire's Common Sense organization are making sure that our presidential hopefuls clear the air about their marijuana viewpoints. We'll have more on this story in next week's Audio Stash. Now let's travel down to beautiful Jamaica, where, believe it or not, marijuana is illegal. The Jamaican Jamaican Parliament may be revisiting the decriminalization issue. In 2001, there was a national commission in Jamaica that recommended relaxing prohibition. Normal's founder Keith Strupp and Ethan Nadelman, the director of the Drug Policy Alliance, traveled to Jamaica in 2003 to testify before the Jamaican government and recommend decriminalization. To date, those recommendations have been implemented. In a letter to the editor sent by Normal's senior policy analyst Paul Armentano to the Jamaica Observer this week, Armentano said, quote, "Jamaica's National Commission on Ganja 2001. Recommendation was appropriate then, and it remains the right thing to do now. By alienating and criminalizing hundreds of thousands of otherwise law-abiding citizens, and making the state, in their view, an instrument of their oppression rather than their protection, marijuana prohibition brings the rule of law into disrepute and is itself a threat to the stability of society." Close quote. Jamaica still has close governmental and regulatory ties to its former imperial master, Great Britain. And recently, the UK has produced some of the most over-the-top reefer madness rhetoric regarding marijuana seen in modern times. The UK's blind-to-science drug warriors have sought to spread their falsehoods around the British Commonwealth, with little success. The notion that strong pot makes people violent is certainly laughable to the public, unless the UK is seeking to end violence done to cartons of ice cream and bags of chips. In Europe this week, the mayor of the Dutch city of Maastricht called on Germany and Belgium to legalize and regulate the sale of cannabis within their own countries to cut down on the number of foreign citizens traveling to the Netherlands to buy pot. Maastricht is just over the border from Belgium and Germany, and the cannabis coffee houses there enjoy brisk business from the Euros seeking out some fine marijuana and hashish. Although pot is still technically illegal in the Netherlands, the relaxed, semi-regulated market for marijuana there has been a successful political policy in the country, with much fewer Dutch teens smoking pot than in their neighboring countries, which maintain U.S.-style prohibition. The first Dutch cannabis coffee shop opened in 1972. Now there are over 800. The Dutch town of Maastricht hosts 16 of those shops and recently passed an ordinance to move all of them to within walking distance of the border. That was to cut down on the car traffic of the estimated 1.5 million non-Dutch Europeans who purchase marijuana products at those 16 shops each year. Maastricht's mayor, Gerard Leers, is a prominent member of the Christian Democrat Party of Europe, and he called for an EU-wide Dutch model for cannabis regulation. Back here in the United States, there are several state legislative proposals moving steadily forward in their respective assemblies and legislatures. Here's a quick rundown. From Vermont, Senate Bill 7 recently passed both the House Committees on Human Services and the Ways and Means Committee. That bill is now before the House Judiciary Committee for consideration. If passed, Senate Bill 7 would broaden the definition of, quote, debilitating medical condition, close quote, so that more seriously ill Vermont citizens may participate in the state's medical marijuana program. The Vermont Senate previously passed this measure on March 1st. In New Hampshire, House Bill 424, a bill to enact statewide regulations on the cultivation of industrial hemp as an agricultural commodity, was heard by the Senate Committee on Commerce, Labor, and Consumer Protection this past Tuesday, and now awaits further action from the legislature. The proposal previously passed the New Hampshire State House by a vote of 190 to 76. In Connecticut, House Bill 6715, an act to authorize the medical use of marijuana for qualifying Connecticut patients, passed through the Committee on General Law by a vote of 11 to 6 on Tuesday. That bill now awaits further action by the legislature. In Tennessee, House Bill 486, an act to authorize the medical use of marijuana for qualifying Tennessee patients, successfully passed through the Public Health and Family Assistance Subcommittee of the House Health and Human Services Committee earlier this week. The bill will be heard by the full House Health and Human Services Committee on May 1st, and its separate companion bill would be heard on May 2nd. In Rhode Island, Senate Bill 791, an act to repeal the sunset clause of the Edward O. Hawkins and Thomas C. Slater Medical Marijuana Act, is scheduled to be voted on by the House of Representatives on Tuesday. State senators are also planning a vote this week. In Maine, Legislative Document 1418, an act to improve Maine's 7-year-old medical marijuana program, was heard by the Joint Committee on Health and Human Services Monday, April 23rd. The bill now awaits further action in the Maine legislature. Testifying in favor of the measure included Normal Senior Policy Analyst Paul Armentano and Jonathan Levitt from Maine's Marijuana Policy Initiative. You can hear Jonathan on the Tuesday, April 24th edition of Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Finally, in California, Assembly Bill 684, a bill to enact the statewide regulations on the cultivation of industrial hemp, successfully passed the Assembly Subcommittee on Appropriations. The bill now goes before the full Assembly for consideration. If approved, this measure will allow state-licensed farmers to cultivate hemp as an economic product. Folks, if you want to get involved with marijuana law reform, there is no better way than to get involved with these different pieces of state legislation moving forward right now. Visit the Normal Take Action Center, send letters, write emails, and make phone calls to support these bills. We have links to get involved today at normalaudiostash.com. That's our weekly news roundup for this week. Make sure you catch our separate Normal News audio podcast. Visit normal.org/podcast and get it on iTunes, of course. Want to give a special thanks to Paul Armentano, Normal's Senior Policy Analyst, for his contributions to our weekly news roundup today.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Next up on the Audio Stash today, we're going to check in with Steve Bloom of CelebStoner.com.
I want to be famous. I want to wear minks and satins and pearls.
Steve Bloom is a former editor at High Times Magazine whose most recent project is CelebStoner.com, keeping us all up to date on famous folk who enjoy a toke. Steve, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Hey, Chris, what's up?
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, it has been a really busy week, man. I wish I was headed out to Jazz Fest. You know, let's start with this. You were in Houston last week, attending the Houston Normal 420 event down there, but you also got a chance, I saw up on Celeb Stoner, you got a chance to hang out at a George Clinton show in Houston, is that right?
Well, while I was in Houston, I was there for the 420 Hemp Fest, which is last Friday, and that weekend there was the iFest, or what they call International Fest in Houston. It takes up a little chunk of downtown. It's kind of a street fair with multiple stages, and this year's theme was a China theme, so they had a pavilion and a little kind of small version of the Great Wall and all kinds of fun things. But what really interested me most when I looked at the schedule was that George Clinton was playing. So I'm a big fan of P-Funk and that whole scene, and I've spent a lot of hours, you know, going to those shows over the years, and you know, I've been fortunate enough to meet George and a lot of the other members of the band over the years, and he was great. They did a two-hour set. They hadn't performed too much lately, so I think they were really chomping at the bit to get out there. And this is a group, they're like the ultimate jam band. They could go 4 or 5 hours, but, you know, they did the two-hour slot, and George is in great shape. You know, he's, I believe he's about 66 years old, and he's just out there like a kid on stage, jumping up and down, you know, leading. He's like, you know, an orchestra leader of this, you know, P-Funk, you know, ensemble. And, you know, he just, you know, directs them and keeps bringing up people, you know, to do solos, whether it's instrumentalists or singers, rappers. He has his daughter in the group, Sativa, and his son, Tracy, and just people keep coming up out of the, you know, the wings, and they keep bringing people out. It's just so much fun. I've always thought it's kind of like a funk opera, and I've always thought that this show should be a Broadway show, and they should just play every night in New York on a Broadway stage and just come out and do their thing, because it's just such a blast. It always has been. Anybody out there who hasn't seen George Clinton, please go if he's coming to your town.
Right on, man. Also, up at CelebStoner.com, you're following those top NFL draft pick players who admitted smoking marijuana, and ESPN had a great article this week that praised the players' honesty. None of them are saying that they're current pot smokers, but they do admit having smoked pot at some point, and it takes a lot of courage on their part.
Well, there are three guys who are considered top 10 prospects. Calvin Johnson, who is a Georgia Tech receiver, defensive end Gaines Adams from Clemson, and Louisiana defensive tackle Amobi Okoya. They were at what they call the NFL Combine, which is tryouts and meetings and stuff like that with some of the young players before the draft, which, by the way, takes place tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. And they were asked, you know, a lot of questions about their personal behavior, and I guess it's become a routine question to ask these young guys, you know, if they've ever smoked marijuana. And I'm sure, you know, the vast majority of the guys are going to say no, like most people will when they're asked that question, you know, to, you know, from a kind of authority figure. But these three guys decided to say yes, they did smoke marijuana, not that they do now, and not that they, you know, have in any kind of recent time, but that they have in their lives. And they were not drug tested, but they were just, you know, they just made this admission. And that admission, you know, is spreading around the NFL, and the question is being asked, you know, how will it affect their draft status? Will it drop them because they have this reputation, even though they haven't really done anything lately or they haven't had a drug test that found them positive of kind of recent use, but just the fact that they admitted to it. And so there's a big debate going on in the sports media as to whether that was a good thing or a bad thing for them. Will it hurt them? Will it not hurt their draft standing? In the past, players who've come up positive on tests have dropped down significantly in the draft. So this time maybe it won't, because the point here is that they, you know, it's kind of interesting that they admitted it and they were truthful makes it better than not admitting it and lying, perhaps. And so even though it's something that's not acceptable behavior, you know, within, you know, the sports, you know, establishment, you know, by admitting to it and also kind of saying, well, not something I do recently, it's okay and it won't hurt them. So we'll see. We'll see what happens come tomorrow, you know, when the first draft picks are announced. Now, Calvin Johnson is being touted as the number two pick in the draft by the Detroit Lions. The first pick in the draft is supposed to be taken, a quarterback being taken by the Oakland Raiders. But so Johnson, that'll be like the real, you know, that'll really determine, you know, whether this is having an impact or not, whether Johnson goes down from the number two slot, which he's projected at.
Well, Steve, I know you're on the road right now, so a special thanks for joining us here on the Audio Stash today.
Just one more thing, Chris. You know, I just want to let everybody know I'm heading to New Orleans from Houston, and I'll be at the Jazz Fest this weekend, which starts today and continues straight through. So anybody in the New Orleans, Louisiana, southern area must go to Jazz Fest, the greatest festival in America.
Right on, Steve. I wish I was down there at Jazz Fest, too. Thanks again, man.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Steve Bloom has his finger on the pulse of famous folk who enjoy a toke at the website CelebStoner.com. We have links to it at NormalAudioStash.com, and Steve joins us here every Friday.
Hey, is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
Today on the Audio Stash, we got a feature interview with the band Fishbone. Their newest album is Still Stuck in Your Throat, released just last week here in the U.S., and jam-packed with some great cuts of their original sound. Fishbone was formed in 1979 by lead vocalist and sax player Angelo Moore, and these guys are credited by everyone in the music industry as being the driving force behind modern ska music, paving the way and inspiring the sound of bands like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, No Doubt, Sublime, and many, many, many more. They also will be appearing in the new David Arquette movie, The Tripper, due for release very soon. We caught up with Angelo, Norwood, and Curtis of Fishbone earlier this week, but first, let's get to a track off their new album. We have links to this album, Still Stuck in Your Throat, up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. We also have links to Fishbone's MySpace page and also links to download the album directly on iTunes. Check it all out at normalaudiostash.com. Here's Fishbone.
But what's beneath your gross concern? Ain't nothing nice. Manipulate us once again to see your way. But you always forget your echo cause and echo disarray.
It had to be the will of God, but the devil made me do it. Solution to this method, both ass and a butt. But there's one thing we can be sure of: his will remains stuck. But she'll look good, and that's all that matters. That's how you are taught. And this situation may hang you continue to be distraught.
It had to be the will of God, but the devil made me do it. Comes to the verbal stinger, you can surely talk a good game. You're really good at pointing a finger, what a poet. Makes him lovely, you're unbelievably good, but unbelievable just the same. Cause it's you that seem to be missing from every picture that you frame.
Guess who's at fault? Well, it's certainly not yourself. And if the question is pointed in your direction, you deflect it to someone else.
It's too late, we are about to stop it.
In the guilt find me, and with each other's mouths, we'll guarantee our ever-increasing fire.
It had to be the will of God, but the devil made me do it. When it comes to the verbal stinger, you can surely talk a good game. You're really good at pointing your finger on a poet. Facing lovely, you're unbelievably good, but unbelievable just the same. Cause it's you that seems to be missing from every picture that you
just said you be the will of God.
was from Fishbone's newest release, Still Stuck in Your Throat album, and it is a great privilege here today to welcome these guys here to the Audio Stash, Angelo, Norwood, Curtis. Guys, welcome to the show.
All right. What's
happening? Hey, what's going down?
Many thanks again for joining us here today, guys. Now, this new album, Still Stuck in Your Throat, you're sticking to your roots here, but there is some new sound going on. Tell us what's going on with
right,
this.
Because we got a whole new squad. Remember, we got Curtis Story on the phone. He plays trumpet. And Curtis, tell him your spin on it real quick, man. Tell him your quick spin on it.
Well, you know, it's pretty much the same stuff Fishbone has been doing for the last 20 years, but yet with a different spin, just with some new blood in the family, you know?
That's right.
And it's kind of just, you know, adapted. A little bit, you know, because we got, you know, Rocky George on guitar from Suicidal Tendencies. You got Dre Gibson. He goes in, you know, he does his thing. He has the reggae flow, you know, brings that, as well as he's singing vocals as well with Angelo. And they, you know, real hype, you know, front mans. And so they get up there and do their thing, as well as John McKnight is back on trombone.
That's right. So there you got some words straight from the new blood right there. Okay, and as far as the music goes, man, it's just like always, it's a mixture of different styles, including ska, reggae, funk, some jazz, some punk rock, a little gospel touches, and some R&B, you know, and a lot of social content too. Social commentary and content, man.
You know, Fishbone has always had that social awareness to your music, and now with this online music revolution happening, do you think that people are even more open to that?
Oh, yeah, man, because it's a whole different mode of communicating. You know, first it was the radio, television, now you got the radio, television, and the internet. So that's a whole other outlet for the media, man. More information, lots of information to people to digest.
Yeah, and it's always cool, too, Wade, for us to converse one another with the fans, because, you know, with MySpace page, you know, it's always good to see what we're doing right and what we're not doing right, you know?
The internet, in those ways, is like the most important technological advance in our lifetimes, because it connects, one, the entire world, and it crosses all boundaries of age, race, gender, whatever, man.
And in a world of electronic music, Fishbone really stands out in, you know, using modern technology, but Fishbone is also a really instrument-driven band with the horns.
Yeah, man, I think there was a point in time in our most recent history, man, where horns came into the picture with the younger generation, you know, so it closed up the gap. And we were one of those bands in that generation that brought those horns in right along with the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, me and one of those bands, and, you know, No Doubt being another one of those bands, you know, that had horns when they did their thing. And the Toasters as well, Mephiscopheles, you know, various ska bands on the East and West Coast that would have their horns in their music. So I think that might have bridged bridged a little culture and a little musical history, you know, with horns. Because horns are something that, like, horns are basically from just the jazz era, man, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they span a lot longer period of time than that. But really, every year there's a whole new batch of marching band kids that don't know what they're going to do with the rest of their lives.
Huh.
You know?
Yeah, but now they can talk like the rest of them.
And guys, you're here on the Audio Stash today. This is really the venue for everyone to speak out on the issue of marijuana. Fishbone has always been all about live shows, the live performances. And those who enjoy live music are also often doing it with marijuana. So let me ask how marijuana has influenced your music, and do you think it's had a good impact on those live fans at performances out there?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure it has, man. You know, we all smoked weed at one point. Some of us still do. I know I do. You know, so we have a lot of marijuana, pro-marijuana people and activists coming to the shows.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, and I think that one thing is the most important is that Fishbone stands for freedom. I personally am not smoking at this point in my life, but I totally advocate smoking. I think that, you know, that it expresses, that just smoking marijuana is an expression of freedom. It's like when you go to Amsterdam, when I go to Amsterdam, I don't have to smoke. But just being there, I get a sense of freedom that I'm like, I could do almost anything I wanted to do. It doesn't make me want to go out and do it or overindulge in anything. It's just the fact that there's not a looming big brother image that will stop you from doing anything that you might want to partake in brings on that sense of freedom.
You know, and since Fishbone has always had something to say within the music, do you think it takes, you know, even more courage today to speak about social justice and everything in the music?
Well, in the current climate, you know, it's possible that you make make certain statements and you're not the Dixie Chicks, you could really be taking your career, you know, putting your career on the line. You know, it's like you could very well, you know, your stance may get you shut out. It's not exactly the McCarthy era, but, you know, we just came from Australia, and Australia is putting a ban on anything that was deemed positive to a terrorist notion.
Huh.
You know, and I could, banning books, that is. Now, I don't know the details of how they were going about it, but I'm like, you know, somebody could misconstrue Party with Saddam as being pro-terrorist, you know, if they don't really look at it, just come from the title alone. You know, Fishbones of Schitt's Creek. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I tell you, man, it takes courage to be Fishbone, you know, and we've stuck around this long, not changing our music or our lyrics or our concepts. You know, we haven't sold out. We're not playing pop music or anything like that. We're still doing the music that we like. It's just as hard, gritty, and honest as it was before. You know, and a lot of bands get discouraged because eventually they have to sway toward the reality that, you know, in order to make some kind of money or living, a proper financial living or stability, in the music business, a lot of times bands, they have to shift toward playing pop music, man, and watering their music down, but we haven't done that. And we're still here. You know, so that's one thing I think is really credible, man, about Fishbone. You know, and besides, man, looking at those titles, the titles are one thing, but if you listen to the music, if you listen to the lyrics and the music, you'll find out that it's actually not that bad.
To you. It ain't that bad to you.
Yep,
you know, fucking you.
It.
You might live in fucking Stink Finger, Tennessee, and be somebody there might just be like, these guys are communists.
That's right.
They're gonna uproot my way of life.
You know what? And
they're gonna bring their pop smoking buddies with them.
I hope they do call us communists. They need to call us communists and racists and everything. Because if they do that, it's gonna gather more attention toward us, and people will want to find out what's going on with these guys, this band called Fishbone, and they're raising such a ruckus. You know, they raise a ruckus, you get attention, and hey, next thing you know, you got people's ears, you got their attention, you know, and then you lay it on them what it's really about. And you know, man, it's going to be people that are going to have a lot of ignorance on their plate, and they just want to listen to the title or look at the title, and that's it. Then you got people who look at the title, and once they see it, they want to delve more into it and see what it's all about. That's the good thing about Fishbone, because Fishbone's got substance and depth.
And I know, too, that, you know, Fishbone and you, Angelo, have a bunch of other projects going on out there, too. Tell us about some of those other projects.
Well, man, Dr. Mad Vibe, for instance, is poetry, performance art. I got a couple of comic books. One comic book, my latest comic book I just put out, which is available in Borders, and you can also look it up and purchase it online through Lightning Source. It's called Nate Procrasto, the Procrastinator. Okay? And the moral to that story is that don't put off today, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Yeah, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Don't procrastinate. Because if we learned the lesson from Nate Procrasto, he tried to get a date with Tina on time, the Cajun French sister with the big behind, but see, he just kept wasting time. You know what I'm saying? And then the other comic book is about Jaja on the telephone. That's calling God on the telephone, but it's hard to get through because the line is busy. And in these days and times that we live in, a lot of people are trying to call Jaja on the telephone. But it's hard to get through. Oh, Jaja, what am I supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? And then there's a CD called Dr. Madby's Medicine Cabinet. And that's a various plethora of arrangements and styles and poetry and things of that nature. You know, and that's in the stores. You can get that, all that stuff in the stores, too. And it's from a record company called More Map Records, and it's distributed by City Hall, man. And so all of that wonderful stuff is out there at the Fishbone shows and in the stores for you to enjoy and buy and purchase. Buy the CD. You need to buy the CD. Fishbone is still stuck in your throat. Whether you have known it or not, if you didn't know it, man, believe me, that little tickling in your throat is a fishbone that's been there the whole time. So recognize it, pull the fishbone out, enjoy it, listen to it, feel it, and then put it right back in there in your throat where it belongs.
Right on, guys. I cannot thank you enough for taking time to join us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Curtis, Norwood, Angelo, thank you for joining us here today.
Oh, yeah,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
That was members of the band Fishbone right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash today. You can download their latest album, Still Stuck in Your Throat, on iTunes. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. We also have links to their MySpace page and their website. Check it all out. These guys are very generous with their time this week. Visit normalaudiostash.com for a full set of links to Fishbone.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.